Is God showing his glory to us this morning? Can you see him? Do you feel him? He's here. God is here with us. The scripture says in Luke 19 that if we are quiet and we're not praising God and giving him glory, that the rocks and hills will cry out. So this morning, did you cry out to God? Did you feel his presence? Did you see his glory? Do you feel his glory this morning? He is here. The Holy Spirit is here speaking. Psalm 96, which I'm just going to pull up here and read for you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord praises to his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. This morning, his marvelous deeds, let's declare them. And let's declare those marvelous deeds to all those around us. But also, let's do that to God right now. Let's praise him. Let's praise God. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are here this morning. Your presence is flowing. Your Holy Spirit is here. We thank you. Thank you, God, that you love us. We are all human, and we all need your inspiration. We need your love. We need your salvation. Father, if we don't cry out, the rocks and hills will. Your creation, it was created for you. Father, the animals cry out to you. We may not see that, but the dolphins and the whales and even the coyotes that sing at night, I think they're praising you. We need to see that. We need to welcome it into our lives, to praise you, to glorify you. Father, this morning, some have felt you. Some have been able to glorify you and praise you, and some, maybe not. God, I pray for those this morning that haven't really seen you or felt your presence this morning. Come, let your Holy Spirit fall on them so that they can see your glory this morning. Father, there are many needs in this room. And right now, we want to lay them down at your feet. We want to lift them up to you. And we want to say, take those burdens and those needs, whatever they are. Whether it's relationships, finance, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what those situations are that bother us and frustrate us. God, we just need to lift them up to you and say, please take our burdens, God. And if we've never done that, may today be the first time to release things to you so you carry our burden, so ours is light. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you anytime we want to. You're always here with us. And if we are your children, your Holy Spirit is living within us. That means we are never alone. Praising you, Jesus, this morning for your word that speaks so clearly to us and gives us instruction on how to praise you, to sing a new song, and to announce it to those all around us and to the nations. Thank you for being here and present and alive. That our King, Jesus, is alive this morning. You are alive. Thank you for being here, Jesus. Guide the rest of our service of praising you, seeing your glory, welcoming your glory here. Show us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Well, welcome to church this morning. Look at the service order. Oh, guess what? Guess what's coming next? Kids, it's time for Sunday school. If you are ages 3 all the way up to grade 6, we line up on the stairs on my left, your right over there. Parents, send your kids. It's super exciting. We have a wonderful team that does Sunday school. and I am impressed with them. One of the rules that I have personally, you are not allowed to teach to adults in this church unless you're capable of teaching to kids. Because I think if kids can't understand it, it's too complicated for the rest of us. So I honor all you Sunday school teachers who are up there teaching with our kids, because you are giving them such great depth and knowledge and relationship and examples of Jesus. And I think it's incredible. Can we pray for our kids as they leave? Kids, we're going to pray. Are you ready? Dear God, Jesus, thank you so much for our kids, that they get to learn and they get to grow and they get to share and they get to live with you. So today, as they go in Sunday school, as they're learning about the fruit of the Spirit, God, fill them with your Holy Spirit so that they can come back to us, the adults, and show us what life overflowing with the Holy Spirit looks like. So they can be an example to us and we can learn from them. Help them to grow strong in their faith and their relationships, practicing being the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kids, you are welcome to go upstairs. Let me grab a music stand. Well, last week we had a baptismal service, and it was a lot of fun. Like, if you weren't here, you totally missed out. I believe this morning people were coming to me, they're like, Pastor David, we missed the confetti in this room or this room. Like, we had a party. And we had seven people baptized, and every one of those seven I'm super proud of. They're people who have committed their faith, their lives to Jesus. And it's not just like this might be a good idea. These are all in kind of people, and you know it's going to be the rest of their lives chasing after God, full of the Spirit wherever they go. And that was fun to celebrate. And for all of you who helped me vacuum afterwards, thank you. It took a couple hours. There was a lot of mess, just like every other party. Well, we're going to a new series today. We are going to be going through the book of Acts. I don't know if you've read through it. It's one of the longest books in the Bible. So if you want to open it up to Acts chapter 1 today, we're going to start reading. Maybe we won't read it all. It might take a little while. So over this next season, we're journeying through this book. And I'm excited that you've joined us for this incredible adventure, because in the next few weeks together, we're going to see how God's story unfolds and moves out across the globe, and how it's still moving even today. Acts, like I said, is one of the longest books in the New Testament, but I don't want that to intimidate you, because it's some of the most gripping narrative that you've ever heard in your life. It's a true story of the miracle power of God, and there's something in it for you. We read it and we think, oh, it's a history book. But God's word is alive. The story that he wrote down affects and impacts us today. In fact, you're going to see an incredible promise for every believer as we look through the book of Acts. You're going to see there's a very clear purpose, an overarching purpose for every believer. And you're going to see that there is all-sufficient power for every single one of us. That means for you also, as we look at this story. Now, the story of Acts is the second part of a two-part series. It follows the Gospel of Luke. Now, I know they're not in that order in the New Testament, but Luke wrote both parts of it. Now, the book of Acts is written by him. He was an eyewitness, a follower of Jesus. And that means he was there during the ministry of Jesus. He saw firsthand some of these miracles. He saw Jesus crucified or buried. He saw Jesus alive from the dead. But then he continues this story with Jesus. And he continues on to the story of the unfolding of the church that moves out around the world. And here's what's amazing about Luke's account. Luke is a doctor. That means he's into the details. And so you'll see in his gospel and you'll see in the book of Acts that he gives names and places and layers that really help us to dig into the reality that this is our story. This is our history. And here's what's amazing about Luke's account. As you read Luke and Acts, you can't help but notice all of those details that he adds. He tells us where things happened, when they happened, and who was there. Ancient Greek converts could read Luke and Acts and have an assurance that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Not merely a legend, and not that the church grew under the sovereign hand of God. And if any of them still had doubts, they could visit the people Luke spoke to and verify the facts in these books. Tradition tells us that Luke was a physician from either Syrian Antioch or Philippi. And he was a friend and a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. It says so in Colossians 4:14. The early verses of Luke tell us that this gospel was written for two different reasons. First, to compile all of the first-hand accounts of Jesus' life in an orderly way. And second, so that the readers of this letter might be certain of what they were taught. Even though we're living a millennia after these books were written, Luke's purpose of writing them remains, to give us an orderly account of Jesus' life so that we can be certain of what we have been taught. If you go back to the Gospels, to the crucifixion of Jesus, Luke's account gives us the most detailed information about what happens to someone when they're crucified. He gives us all the shades and the color and the detail and the information. And all of that is going to help us because it's history. It's more than history. It's God's word for us today. Now, if you brought your Bible with you, I want you to think of that miracle of what you're holding in your hands. Right? It's not just ink on a page. It's not just text letters in your cell phone. It's God's breath. It's what Scripture says what it is about itself. All Scripture is God-breathed. And that means that when we read this, it's a miracle. When we are holding God's very breath in our hands. And so before we step into chapter 1, I want us to pause. And I want us to pray for you and I. I want to pray with you. And I want us to just breathe in God's word. That God is speaking to us today. I want us to trust him. I want him to open our eyes and open our ears so we can see and hear and know what he's saying to us today. So let's pray together. Father, thank you that you desire to know us and that you desire for us to know you. Thank you that you've not left us to figure it out on our own, but you've given us these eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. Eyewitness accounts of the earliest days of the spread of your story across the planet. God, thank you that you have given us your very word to hold in our hands today and to hide in our hearts. And so I just ask you again today that you would open our eyes and that you would allow us to see what you want us to see and to hear what you are saying for our lives. I pray that every single one of us would be encouraged and that we would walk away knowing that God spoke to me. I know where I'm supposed to head. I trust that you will do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are going to meet in these pages of the book of Acts. And I will trust that you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we dive into the actual letters on the page, I'd like us to break into small groups and talk about where we're headed. So if you could throw it up on the screen, Elisha. This is our first question for today. Do you have a purpose? And if so, what is your purpose? So if you could break into groups of 6 to 8 people, you can move your chairs around, you can turn around and face each other, pick a leader, introduce yourself to the team, and talk about this. And we'll see you back in a couple minutes. Well, let me bring you back to the front. We'll continue these conversations in a moment. If you're not one of those introspective people, you don't really look at yourself often, maybe purpose isn't something you thought of. Maybe you just go through like, I'm a dad, so obviously my purpose is to raise my kids, right? Or my purpose is to work a good job, to be a hard worker, or to love my wife. These are all things, the purposes that we have. And And it can be easy to go through the motions, to get caught up in the demands of our lives, that sometimes we don't even think about purpose and what it fits in those days. But in the book of Acts, God shows us that he has a purpose for us in every moment, even when it seems like nothing much is going on. These opening verses, as we're about to read them, they set the stage for the entire book of Acts, giving us an overview of Jesus' work between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And while Luke, the author of Acts, doesn't give us this exhaustive list of everything Jesus did, these brief verses make one thing clear. The church was founded on the resurrecting, living, and active Son of God, Jesus Christ. So let's jump in. And I want to talk about that promise in Acts. There's a promise for every single believer. And we see it right in the beginning of chapter 1. Jesus is speaking here. And you might think that Jesus is only in the Gospels, right? The red letters are in Mark, Luke, John. But here we have it right in the text. The red letters again in the beginning of Acts. So open up your Bibles, Acts chapter 1, and I want to read verse 4. This is what it says. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. See, the disciples, they're ready to go, but Jesus says, whoa, no. I want you to wait. And we're going to see what this waiting is all about in just a few verses. But I wonder if that has ever happened to you. I wonder if you were ever in a place in life where you're like, God, I need you to move. I need you to go. And God says, whoa. I need you to wait. I know that in my journey, that's been my story so many times, because very rarely my timing is the same as God's timing. Even right now, all the things that we're a part of, that all the things we've been a part of, they're part of the waiting. Before we came to live here in Salmon Arm, God called me and my family for a whole year to wait. To just wait. And I don't know exactly what God was doing, but I've come to learn to trust him and to believe that even when I can't see it, he's working. The apostles, that's a Greek word meaning the sent ones. The sent ones. Them and Jesus' family, they gathered together in prayer. And to them, waiting was more than just sitting around and hoping for someone to knock on their door to give them an opportunity. Waiting on the promise of Jesus was a prayerful, unified expectation of God's upcoming work. And as we read through Acts, you'll see the apostles, they continually stop to pray. And when they didn't know what to do, they were waiting on uncertain outcomes. They simply had a moment to rest. Then they prayed together. And when they weren't praying, the apostles were actively preparing their community for God's coming promise. Maybe right now in your life, you want God to give you a go. But instead, what you're getting is wait. And in that moment, I just want to encourage you, there's a reason behind the wait. And the reason behind this wait, the one that we're reading about in Acts, it's powerful. We're going to see it in next week, but I want to give you a hint right now of what's coming up, because the very next part of this text, we see the heart of the book of Acts. Jesus had promised, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be in you, not just with you. And that's what and who Jesus was is asking his followers to wait for. And while they were waiting, he wanted as many people as possible to see him so that and then he could lead us to the very core, the heart and the soul, the mission of what the book of Acts is all about. So over the next season, we're going to journey together through Acts and the Holy Spirit's role in Acts and our lives. It's so important that I want to draw your attention to this right now. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what Jesus said, another one of the verses that's in red. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, what you're waiting for is the power. The power is going to come through the Holy Spirit. And the purpose for which I'm sending you that power is that you can be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And what Acts is all about. God is giving us a purpose for our lives and the power to carry out that purpose until the very end of time. You will be my witnesses. Well, think about that. What does it actually mean? You will be my witnesses. It means that we're called to be the megaphone, or if you will, to the world that proclaims the story that Jesus is alive. At the heart of our gospel, it's the cross, but the power source is found in that empty tomb. And we're going to be witnesses to the world that Jesus isn't just some story written in history books, but he's a living Savior, a living God who transforms our lives right here, right now, today in Salmon Arm. It says in the Gospels that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to the 12 disciples. But then it said he appeared to more. Even at one time to 500 people at once. He stayed on earth showing us the power that would arrive and allowing more and more people to see him so they could see the proof of the resurrection power of God. And he wants you and I to experience that same power in our lives so that we can tell the world that Jesus is alive. The disciples, they didn't fully understand Jesus' purpose. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God, but they thought he came to throw out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. Their hope for Jesus was too small, focusing on temporary changes rather than his eternal kingdom. Well, what's your hope for Jesus? Or what's your hope for Jesus in your life? Is it too small? Is it just to overthrow the problems? Or is it to bring in a new kingdom? Let's look at the verse a little more closely. Acts 1:8. He says, then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. Here in Jerusalem, in Judea, that was the area around Jerusalem, and Samaria, the next area over, and to the ends of the world. There are four things that I want us to see in this verse. Number one, that there's a new and overarching authority. In other words, we've got our marching orders from someone who has demonstrated ultimate power and that power over sin, death, hell, and even the grave. He has authority, Jesus does, not only because of his resurrection, but he has authority from his Father. Matthew's gospel, it ends like this. Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. That's Matthew 28:19. Do you see how it works? Jesus says, I've got all the authority, but now I'm sending you on the mission. I've been given authority in heaven and on earth, but now there's a purpose for you on the planet, and it's to go out and to reach the entire world under that authority. The second thing that I want you to see in Acts 1:8, is that there's a clear and compelling purpose for our lives. There's a reason why we're breathing today. There's a reason why we woke up today, and it's that we would be carriers of this message. The story of Jesus is grace to the entire world. And that's for all of us today. That's not somebody else's mission today. That's all of our mission today. Everyone who has been witnesses to the miracle power of Jesus in your own life, you now have the authority of God on us to carry that story to the world. That's why I'm so impressed with the people who got baptized last week. Because they stood on a stage and they said, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. They carried that authority, their God-given authority, to share with the world what he's done. I also want you to see in the text that we have all the power we need to do what God is calling us to do. That there is present and persistent power available to us through the Holy Spirit. So in any circumstance or situation, when you're nervous or you're afraid or when you're fearful for the outcome or when you're not sure of what words to say or when you're put under pressure and you're not sure in your own strength if you can do it, there is always going to be for us a power source that's available to carry that message to every single person, to every single circumstance, and every single place that God wants us to carry it. You can't do it on your own. And I know because I've tried. I know so many other people who have tried on their own strength. But with the Holy Spirit, nothing can stop us. And the last thing that we see in verse 8 is that this is a global event for all people into the story of grace, to the love, to the mercy of God. It's not just a story for the select few. This is a story for everybody. It's like dropping a boulder of grace into a lake and watching the ripples roll out from the epicenter all the way to the ends of the earth. It's a story about here and there and everywhere. Because the gospel isn't for me and my family. It's not just for us here in our church, inside the walls of our building. It is for right here, yes, but it's also for the area around us. It's also for the people around us. It's for the concentric circles of humanity until everybody on this planet hears the story that Jesus is alive. And don't get me wrong, this is not going to be an easy mission. Definitely not going to be a cakewalk. There's a moment coming where we're going to see Paul and Silas in our story in the stench of a Philippian jail at midnight. And there's going to be pain and there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be persecution in the story. We will have to give up a lot. There will be obstacles to be overcome. But God is going to supply everything that we need to fulfill this calling on our lives. And God is inviting you in. He's saying, would you like to be a part of that promise? Would you like to have that kind of clarity and purpose in your life? Do you need to have access to that kind of power? Well, God's inviting you into the story of the book of Acts. But here's the twist. See, right after Jesus gives them the mission, he leaves. I'm out. Goodbye. Like, Jesus is gone. He's alive. He's giving them the mission. He's promising the power. And then the very next verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, as he was speaking, Jesus ascended to heaven right before their very eyes. And here the disciples are. They're looking into the sky. They're like, wait a minute. We're all excited about the plan. We're excited about the mission. We're ready for the purpose. Let's go take this message to the end of the earth. And then Jesus vanishes. Like, how are we going to do this if Jesus isn't with us? And as they're looking into heaven, an angel appears and he says, what are you guys looking for? Like, you've got an assignment, you've got a purpose, you've got a mission. You're ready to go. Yeah, yes, Jesus ascended. And in the very same way, so I underscore that, in the very same way he's going to come again, in the very way that you saw him leave, he will return. But the disciples, they were stunned when Jesus left. Right? They spent the last few years following him across Judea, watching his miracles, obeying his commands, listening to his teaching, and now they had to wait without him. But just like the disciples, we're waiting for Jesus to return. And sometimes it can feel like we're looking at the sky, waiting with no purpose, with no power. So even if you don't know what's coming next, you can always know what you should be doing today. Because God has given all of us this purpose and this power, this presence, everything we need to fulfill his call. The final truth from Acts 1 is that we're living in God's greater story of grace. While each of us has a different experience, all of us are part of God's story. And if you're unsure of what God wants to do, don't wait around for a sign of heaven just twiddling your thumbs with nothing to do. God told us what to do. We're his witnesses, empowered by his Holy Spirit to make disciples. And that's a mission worth giving our lives to. The book of Acts begins, and it shows us how the church began in Jerusalem, spreading through Judea and Samaria, and it grew throughout the then known world. We're still caught up in that same story. The story of the church today as the gospel continues to reach new people. And in the meantime, it's time for us to wait on the promise so that we can get busy in the mission. And I don't know about you, but if I sit in my living room and I stare out the window at the houses across the street and up the hill, I see lots of people who don't know who Jesus is. We are not lacking in opportunity. It is right there on our doorsteps. So maybe we're called to go and speak to them, to wait on the Holy Spirit for his power so he can equip us and to send all of us into that mission. Amen? I love where we're leaving this, the end of chapter 1, because we are standing right on the edge of that promise. Great God, you told us to go, and then you told us to wait, and I love that. Waiting to see how God is going to do what he promised that he would do. So next week, church, come, we're going to discover this. We're going to read it together. We're going to see what we're waiting for, who we're waiting for, and how that changes everything in your story and everything in mine. So before we go, I want you to pray about this. I want you to pray for each other about this. I want you to talk about this. So let's throw our last discussion question up on the screen. In what ways is God writing his story in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in our church? And what might be your role in furthering this story? So go for it right now. Break into your groups and pray for that. Pray for the people you're witnessing to. You're sharing your story of how God changed your lives and the impact that can have on our community. And I will see you next week.